to us. You can make us charge hell with a squirt gun. You can move us. God gives you that capacity. God gives you that ability. And men will give all that he has for the love of a woman. But a godly mother finds joy in the Lord. She may look like she's more spiritual, but if she's not doing her role in the home of loving her husband and submitting to him and helping him and loving her children, she's not. Don't mistake that for spirituality, even though she's got her Bible under her arm every day. She needs, if she's really in tune with the true God, she will be on that level. Verse 1 says that, "My horn is exalted in the Lord." The word horn literally has to do with the dignity of certain animals, and it was related many times to people. Because what it was saying was, it's actually used of the outshining rays on Moses' face after he came down from the mountain, got the Ten Commandments, and they said, cover it up. The idea is, her face is beaming. Her face is lit up. Why? Because God has given her. She's happy. And the Bible says in the next verse, or the next section of that verse, it says, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies. And you say, well, I don't want my mother, my wife's mouth to be enlarged. Not like that. Some of your translations may say that it's smiling. The borders of her mouth, she's just smiling. She can't wipe the smile off her face. She's had this kid 3 or 4 years. Maybe she's taken down the temple to leave him. I can't help it. But she's happy. She's excited. Why? Because God gave her a son. Not just any son, a son that she had completely in her heart devoted to God. We're going to be having a child dedication here in a couple weeks. My little grandson's going to be dedicated here. Hope you'll come on the 25th, I think it is, yes. And so just keep an eye on that. Some of you have never dedicated your children. She did. She did because a godly mother takes joy in God's design. And her face is smiling, her face is radiating, her heart rejoices. This is a woman who knows what's going on, that God is the giver of every good and perfect. And she rejoices, because God gave her what she wanted. Verse 2 says this, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. This tells me this woman went everywhere seeking for help. She wanted a child, but she found there was no one like God. Only God could give her what she really wanted. She says there's none holy. The word holy in the Hebrew has the idea of to cut, and meaning to separate. God is above. He's separate from us. He's above us. She says there's no those two. Man, I asked the doctors. I asked the priests. I asked my husband. Nobody could help me. There was none like God. He was separate. He was on a plateau like nobody else. There's none holy like God. Verse 2, she understood about God's design, that there was none beside me. All the other deities, all the other gods. And this was a time of a great idolatry in the people of in the Israelite camp. It's not unlikely that this woman probably chased these other gods. It's not unlikely. You say, well, that's shame on her. How could she be a godly mother? Hey, we all did it. We all did it. We all chased the wrong, the evil. It was when we came to the God. It's amazing. She probably sought the other deity. She said, there's no other God. I've got a word. There's no other God like our God. Now, beloved, there's a lot of gods out there today that they're vying for your attention. There's the God of success. By the way, many churches are built by the God of success, on the God of success. I want to write a book. What am I going to write? I'm going to write a book. I'm going to call it Your Best Life Now. You've heard that book called out there. It's a big thing with Abraham Zig Ziglar as a pastor. Motivational. And people are all about, well, yeah, I go to church. Oh, I go down to Success Community Church. It's all about success because they want to get the doctors and the lawyers. Hey, read on that. It's easier for a camel to go into heaven. We ought to be a little worried about that. If that's true and Jesus said it and he don't lie, then I ain't even concerning myself about whether I'm really focusing too much on success. You see, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to let God be the one who gets all the glory. But when we want to go get it, we'll find a pastor to tell us, you're good, you're going to be all right, you're going to make it, and everything will be good. Just send your money in. Here's a local church I heard about this past week that actually disfellowshipped 3 members because they didn't send in their money. And it's not a church that you would not recognize that I called their name. You didn't send your money in, you're done. Beloved, that ain't it. We're just happy you're here today. In fact, if I thought it would do any good, I'd pay you to come. I would. I don't need you to pay. I'd pay you. I want you to be here. I want you to hear about God. There's none like Him. She knew that long before I did. But I found it to be true. There's none like Him. Give somebody a meal. Ask them to dinner next week. Say, listen, we're having Sunday dinner. We'd love you to have someone come to church and then go on over to the house. We'll have those seats and mashed potatoes and gravy. I mean, make it good, okay? Not this hot dogs on the grill thing for your fellow friend here. You know, give that to the kids. Wait a minute. This is Mother's Day. I can't say that. There is no other rock. Why? Because she realized that when she reached down for footing. Have you ever done that? You ever been getting off of something like a ladder? You're on a roof and you're trying to find that place for the ladder? That's scary. I don't like heights. But you know, when I find that ladder rung, I feel good. She found the ladder rung in God. And she was rejoicing. And she was rejoicing in God's design because she knew she was a woman. She knew God ordained that women be moms. She knew that when she called out to the true God, He answered her. And she got what she desired. Verse 3 says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. She's kind of talking about Penina, the other woman, okay? You just hush up now. I'm good. I'm good. God's blessed me, and it's God. It's all God. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, it says. And by Him, actions are weighed. You know, God weighs the heart. He sees it. He understands it. He knows why you want what you want. He knows why you ask for what you ask for. Sometimes it's when we pray that we really explain or demonstrate who we are. This woman was praying for a good reason. She knew she was a woman. She knew that she was supposed to have children. And you know what? She actually says in this passage, in verse 1, I rejoice in thy salvation. You ought to underline that in your Bible, thy salvation. What did she get? She got a kid. She got a child. And therein lies the thing. God says all the way up in 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, I believe it is, it says, nevertheless, women will be saved in childbearing. I remember a buddy of mine in school. He was trying to talk to this girl, and he was writing her a note. And he, you know, he's chatting her up. Yeah? Threw a letter. Wrote her. Signed it like that is a lot of guys do. They'll sign it with a verse. And he signed it. He was thinking 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 2:15, which is, you know, study to show yourself approved, you know, and workman needed not to be ashamed and all this. And he was trying to give her a good, encouraging, spiritual word. And he wrote down 1 Timothy. Nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing. That is the way to chat up a girl. He's saying, you marry me, I can help you out. I think he didn't ever see that girl again. But the fact is, she rejoiced in his salvation. What is her salvation? Her salvation is that God gave her children. Soul, it means salvation of the significance in life. She understood that this child that she had was a stewardship. You see, the thing is, when he said, nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing, he was talking about the fact that he would not turn to a woman to be a pastor or a teacher of men. Why? Because the Bible talks about this as being something of a confrontational thing. Now, no man, especially a military, I got a Marine down here on the front. Anybody mess with me, he's on it, okay? But I got me a Marine down here on the front. I got me a sailor right behind me. And I got me a National Guard guy. I'm good, okay? I can say what I want now. I'm good. But let's say I go up to him, and I've seen this. I go up to him, and I'm giving him the business. He can take it from me a lot better than he can take it from a woman. If my job is his commanding officer, I give him the business, give him the right act in front of everybody in the room, he can take it from me better than he can take it from a woman. Now, preaching is necessarily confrontational. It really is. It's confrontational. Preaching is, we need to get saved. We need to repent. We need to come to God and we need to forsake our sins. And when we somebody point a finger at us, you know, it goes down a lot smoother if it comes from a man. And plus, they want to leave. Now, if you're a woman and they because you care so much. I care. And it hurts when people leave. But I can take it. Because I'm wired to take it. See, the point is, she shall be saved. So if you can't pastor, and that's biblical, okay? Take it up with God. I mean, really. But biblically, if you got a church that's got a woman in the pastorate, she's out of line. Okay? Watching women on TV preaching? I love that. They're always mean and no one's got the hand on their head. But they're wearing a skirt. They ain't all that pretty, so they're not all that distracting. No, listen. Women in the pulpit, men can't focus. You think about it. She's pretty, she's in a dress, she's on a stage, and he's trying to think. God didn't mean for that to be going on. They say men can't even hear the news reporter. After they start. I don't know. He's biting his lip. You know, do you think God, you think this is news to God? You know, he wired us the way he did, didn't he? Beloved, what we're seeing in this passage is this woman said, my salvation wasn't found in a pulpit. My salvation wasn't found on a stump out in the woods preaching to crowds. My salvation was found in preaching to some precious little minds over there. A godly mother understands God. They believe that in your and they're gonna leave you. They're not gonna walk out on you. Like some will do in the congregation. God doesn't want you to have that kind of pain. He wired you with a certain design, and a godly mother finds joy in God's design. Verse 4 shows us that a godly mother understands God's determination. Verse 4 says, the bows of mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. She's kind of thinking of herself. She stumbled. She had gone to the other gods and sought their help. She's gone to man. She sought their help. Verse 5 says, they that were full have hired themselves out for bread, but they that were hungry peace, which literally means they've rested. They've been set at peace. She was the one that was hungry. Her sister, her over here, her enemy, if you will, her counterpart, what is she? She's all rejoicing with arrogant speech and pride, right? That's what she's doing. She's saying, I know he loves you more than me, but I got all the kids. And she was chiding her for that. But you see, this woman realized something about God's determination. See, how we pray says a lot about how much we understand about God. This woman understood God takes the bows of the mighty men and breaks them. He takes the strength and makes it to become weak in the hands of those that think they're powerful. You can see it everywhere in Scripture, can't you? If you think Sisera's coming against Israel, and God circumvents that under Barak's leadership, and he takes them and he puts them in a rainstorm, and their chariots are worthless, they're out there running after everybody in the mud. You think of Egyptian bondage, they're coming out. Pharaoh says, man, what have I done? I've let them go. Let's go get them. And they go through the Red Sea and it's parted. And everybody's saying, wow, what's that all about? Pharaoh says, I don't care what it's about. When the last Israelite stepped on the other side, the waves came in and wiped them all out. Do you know there are actually petrified wheels of chariots under the Red Sea? And he leaves evidence of everything he does. What separates him from all others. Now this woman realized that she saw that God was one who helped the weak. So she decided, you know what, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to say, I'm not going to try and hold my breath and, you know, do all the gymnastics my world tells me to do to get my desire. I'm going to lay down my heart because God helps the weak. And I'm going to say, God, you know what, God, I'm weak. And we find her in chapter 1, weeping at the altar. weeping at the door of the tabernacle. So much so, she's just a mess. I mean, her eyes are a mess, her hair is running. The priest comes along and says, I'm broken. She understood that God helps the weak. She understood something about God's determination. Just like you mothers understand how you feel about your children when they're struggling, man, you have everything in you not to go. Sometimes the husband has to say, honey, leave it to go. He'll be all right. But sometimes they just can't help it. They fall down. You want to pick them up. Verse 5 goes on and it says, they that were full have hired themselves out for bread, but they that were hungry have ceased to found rest. She was hungry. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. This woman hungered for God, she found Him. Verse 5 goes on to say, and she that has many children is waxed feeble. She saw the writing on the wall. Here this woman has been kind of biting at her. Penina has, and she's been mocking her and her barrenness. And she says, you know, God has shown me that down through the years, these children are going to be just like their mother.